This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
How's it going, everyone? This is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 100. That's right, 100. It's been an amazing experience so far. I don't intend to stop or anything. I'm going to keep going because I love doing what I'm doing. And this episode is going to take us through, we're going to go through the history of the show, how it started. We're going to play some snippets from episode 1. 6 and I believe 12, and there's going to be a bunch of episodes in there that I'm going to mention. I've come a long way. I mean, I started this out in a few years ago when I was in dispatch still, and it blew up, and it's been going ever since. So I'm very grateful for what I'm doing and for this podcast, how far it's come, and I'm looking forward to where it's going to go from here. There's been a lot of things going on. I did episode 99 probably almost a month ago, and there has been just a bunch of stuff. And I believe in episode 99, I even said that I had an announcement to make, but that I couldn't make it, right away. And that announcement is that my wife and I my wife is pregnant, not my wife and I. I know some couples say, yeah, we're pregnant. Well, my ass is not pregnant. My wife is. And we found out that recently that we're going to be having another little girl. So that's going to be awesome. Very excited for that. But, there's life has been taking, the front seat here with everything, as it should. So that's why it's taken me a little bit longer than usual. This show is supposed to be a weekly show, but I had to get through a lot of the stuff that's been going on at home, and especially at work. Work has actually been going great. I love what I do. Traveling around, presenting, doing sales and marketing, and web development, and all kinds of stuff, and I love it. So it's been pretty hectic, to say the least. But I got a lot of stuff going on, and the show will continue, and the list continues to grow for guests. I'm working with a lot of people right now, or talking to a lot of people, to have more episodes coming and to get this back on a weekly schedule. So I'm looking forward to that. One of the other things I want to talk about too here before we get too far into episode 100, this epic episode 100. What I originally wanted to do for this episode was I wanted to bring back my my forever co-host, Whitney. And she started out, she was actually my first guest. And everybody who had heard it were, they just kept saying, you guys sound awesome together. She needs to be your co-host. So in episode 5, which I'll get to more of this later on in this episode, I made her my co-host. So originally what I wanted to do is get her on and get a couple other dispatchers that were on with us in episode 6. So it was Jen and Crystal, and they were with Ottawa County, and we had a lot of fun. So I wanted to get them on and just go through, kind of reflect on some of the stuff that we talked about and then talk about new stuff. And it was going to be awesome. And I really wanted to do that, but because of my schedule and their schedules, it was not going to work. But Michigan Nina is coming up, and I'm going to be over there for a week. Now, I don't believe that they are going to be attending the conference, but I'm not going to be too far from where they're at. So what I'm going to do, and as long as it all works out, I want to meet up with them. And we're going to record an episode and, go through different things, you know, maybe have a couple little drinks or something and get an episode going. It's going to be a lot of fun. So look out for that one. It'll be an episode with Whitney and I, as well as Crystal and Jen. So that's going to be awesome. And another thing, the Indiana NINA conference is coming up. Now, this is going to be towards the end of April. And I can't think of the actual dates for the life of me now. I think it's the 24th through the 27th, something like that. But if you're listening and you're out of Indiana or even a surrounding, you know, state or something, come and check out the conference. It's an excellent conference. It's a lot of fun. I come from Michigan. I hail from Michigan, and I have always had a lot of fun at Michigan NINA, but Indiana, when I moved over here, they really embraced what I was doing. I mean, Michigan did as well, and they did a lot of stuff for me. So I'm not talking bad or anything about them, but what I'm saying is, you know, Indiana, they really pushed me forward into stuff that I was doing, and I spoke there, and I've just helped out their board with a lot of things that's been going on. And so I really feel at home with Indiana, as you know, of course, because I live here too. So they're all like a family. And I mean, I've got my family in Michigan, my dispatch family, the people that I worked with. But I mean, you know, like their board. Maybe it's because I worked with them more at the time than Michigan's. But whenever I've gone there, it's felt like a family. And there's no cliques or anything that have gone off. We've always been all together, and we all hang out together and have a really good time. And there's excellent classes. I'm there, of course, so that's cool, right? You can come on and share a story or two, and it's a good time. And it's a great opportunity to network and learn more. So make sure to go to www.ina.org. That's INNENA.org. And check out the website. Go to the registration, register, and come out and have an excellent time. You can also show up for a day pass or, you know, 2 days, however you want to do it, you can do it. It's always a good time. A couple of the highlights that are going to be there. Jim Marshall, if you don't know, Jim Marshall is part of the 9-1-1 Wellness Foundation. An excellent, excellent man. He does some great stuff for dispatchers, and he gives these amazing talks about you know, stress and all this stuff that dispatchers deal with, and he helps them work through this. So when I was at Michigan NINA, when they were, you know, pushing what I was doing and stuff there, Jim was there, as well as Deanne Somerset, and they were amazing. They were doing excellent things. I was listening to their talks, and they were on one of the episodes with me, and Jim was able to do like this Jedi mind trick on me, where I was able to say some of the things that were bothering me with what was going on in dispatch and my life, and, you know, the burnout stage that I kind of hit there for a little bit. And he and I have been working together pretty much ever since. You know, there's this, we have an alliance together between the 9-1-1 Wellness Foundation and Within the Trenches. And, you know, I'm pushing what they're doing, they're pushing what I'm doing, and we're just really trying to help each other out. So he has a 2-day class that he's going to be giving at the NINA conference, and it's going to be epic. So you guys need to go to the registration, go to the website and register for that pre-conference class, because it's going to be something that you do not want to miss. On top of that, one of the things that I'm doing, I spoke last year at the conference, and it was me telling my story, you know, about how I got started in dispatch, everything that I was doing with the podcast, and it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with the audience, and this year I'll be speaking again, but it's going to be a little bit different. This year, instead, what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be doing a live podcast, an hour-long live podcast in the classroom with everyone. So It's coming up pretty fast, so I need to figure out the specifics on this. But really, what's probably going to happen is there's going to be a table up on the stage, and I'm probably going to have a panel with me. We're going to have microphones, and then we're going to have a couple microphones for the audience. And we're just going to record a podcast. We're going to do it live. We're going to all be telling stories. We'll be laughing. Of course, it's going to be a good time. So make sure to come to check that out as well. I believe my speaking part is going to be just after lunch on a Wednesday. And so that's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be called Within the Trenches Open Mic. So if anything, come for that, man, because it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a good time. So that's everything for the Indiana NENA Conference. Like I said, www.INENA.org, INENA.org. Check that out, and you will not be sorry. Moving from there, as I was saying, this is episode 100, and this has been such a crazy time. It's weird for me to look back and think about how far I've come, because there was so many things that was going on in dispatch before I started this. I mean, I was going to school and full time, and even though I couldn't sit in a classroom, I was doing this online, but I was taking homework. I was taking work with me to school. You know, at the time we weren't able to, maybe it was just that nobody ever asked, but I remember asking if I could bring in my laptop. And at first, of course, they were saying, well, you know, I'm not quite sure about that because, you know, if something happens, and you're the one who is supposed to be taking the call and you weren't paying attention or whatever, it could be bad. But I finally convinced them, you know, I'm going to school and I don't have any other time to do this. So between calls, I'm doing homework. And, you know, I started to, and with talking to the public in the dispatch center and outside of the dispatch center, I realized that, you know, the public really didn't know a lot about what was going on in dispatch or how it worked or anything. I mean, this whole, you know, misperception of what goes on was just huge. And it kind of bothered me. And it was in my head, you know. And I remember talking to my assistant director at the time and saying, you know, I want to start writing about this. I won't use any names. I won't use any addresses. You know, nothing that would you know, say or reveal, you know, who I'm talking about or anything like that. I feel like I need to do something. And of course, you know, it was, probably don't think that's a good idea. And I understood, you know, for good reason, we don't want to get sued or anything like that. But you know, eventually I just decided, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. And we'll see what happens. If I get in trouble, well, then that's on my ass. But I went ahead and did it. So I had this blog. It's called The Jabberlog, and that's jabberlog.com. And I started writing about the stuff that I was going through. I was writing about the calls that I was taking, and it was therapeutic for me. I was able to get everything out and just, you know, have it out there. It wasn't on my shoulders anymore. And it was good. I mean, people started reading it and it really picked up. And I remember when I was writing my first post, I was thinking about what I was going to call this segment, and it just hit me. I don't know. It was in my head. And I think I maybe said it to somebody before in just a conversation saying, yeah, man, you know, when I'm in dispatch taking all these calls and the shit's hitting the fan and it's going crazy, it's like I'm in the trenches, you know, I'm like within the trenches of 911. So I think I said that and it just stuck with me. So when I was writing this, I thought, you know what, that's what I'm going to call this. I'm going to call it Within the Trenches. And it's been going ever since. You know, I've wrote almost every call that I can remember. And I think even in conversations now, even though I've been out of dispatch for a few years, I start remembering more calls, just talking about old ones. The ones that I can remember talking about, those more details come out, and then different calls end up coming back. So they're all buried in there, which is crazy. Because I thought, well, I forgot all this shit, but nope, it's all still there. It's very much there. But so I started writing all of this, and it became popular and popular, and people wanted to read more and they wanted to know more, which was awesome because, you know, the people were really getting into it, and they were actually learning things. You know, I've got a friend who lives in Hawaii, and he was telling me that he was in an accident and he had called 911 and they put him on hold, and he was pissed about it. And I understand, you know, I would probably get pissed too if I didn't know how it all worked. But then he started listening to the podcast, and I remember he told me, I understand now. So next time, you know, I won't be, you know, upset, or at least hopefully not as upset. But, you know, he understood, which was awesome. I remember talking to an officer, and he was telling me, you know, I've been listening to this, and I think I learned more about dispatch in the last couple episodes than I have my entire career. And he's been an officer for years. So just that was awesome, you know, for him to say to me. It was really cool. So after the blog and all, not after, I'm still doing the blog, but during that time and when I was going to school, there were different projects that were coming up, and I believe this degree was my bachelor's degree. And I know a lot of you who are listening to this, you've probably heard this before, but for a lot of the new people, you haven't heard this. And especially when I get into some snippets from episode one, there's some stuff in there that you probably haven't heard, and hopefully you laugh at it because it's some pretty funny stuff. But this one project that I had to do, we had to create a digital story. So this was my bachelor's degree, and it was graphic design that I was doing. And we had to create a digital story. And what they wanted was we needed to either have still pictures and music and narration, or some sort of animation with music and narration to it to tell the story. So I was throwing the idea back and forth of interviewing a couple of my coworkers, and it would just be them talking. So my part of the interview was not in there at all. You know, I was asking questions and they were giving all the answers. And then I went ahead and edited what I needed to do, and I put it to some still pictures along with some music. And the two coworkers, Alexis and Trista, they had helped me with a bunch of other stuff before. So I reached out to them and I said, look, this is my idea. This is what I'm thinking about doing. Would you help me out? And they were all about it. They said that they would go ahead and do it. And what I wanted from them was, I wanted their first name. I wanted to know what their best call was, their worst call, and why they do what they do. As well as how they got into it. So we started this, and it just seemed to click. I could already feel that it was going to be a good thing that I was doing this. I didn't know how far it was going to go at the time because this was just one project that I did. But I ended up getting an A, which is excellent. And I can't thank them enough for helping me with that, because that was pretty much the, you know, the earliest version of Within the Trenches of what it has become. So I've got the audio for the video, and I'll make sure to put the link in the blog post. But you know, I want you to go ahead and listen to this. And it starts out quiet in the beginning because there's actually an intro, and it talks about how, you know, the public doesn't know, you know, what goes on most of the time. But these are the stories, and it's called Behind the Mic: Stories from the Trenches. So see, even then I had that trenches part in there. And I think this was like 2010 when I did this. So here we go.
Hi, my name is Trista, and I have been a 911 dispatcher for 3.5 years with Allegan County Central Dispatch. I decided to apply for the job because I had just recently graduated from college with a degree in fire science. I thought it would be a good opportunity to work with emergency services and learn about communication within a scene. One of the worst calls I have taken was a homicide. I received a call from the girlfriend of the victim, and she was hysterical to the point where I couldn't understand hardly anything she was saying besides bits and pieces. Her boyfriend had been stabbed by a friend of theirs. He was lying on the ground covered in blood. He unfortunately passed away, and after the call, I kept replaying everything in my head. I had been at dispatch under a year, and this was the first call I had taken like this. I was questioning, if only I could have understood her or dispatched help faster, would he have survived? It helped that the officer said there was nothing that I could have done, but it's still a call that I will forever remember. One of the best calls I remember taking is a missing person report. I took the information from a relative who was out of state and concerned about their family member. The information was given out to the officers in case they happened to come across the vehicle or the person involved. The next day, when I came into work, one of my partners said she had received a call from the family member who had reported the missing person. They located their relative and wanted to thank me for how helpful I was to them. It's rare when we get a thank you like this, so this is a time that I will always remember that some people truly do appreciate what we do for them. I do this job because I not only enjoy helping people, but I never know what kind of call that I will get when the phone rings. We have a lot of emergencies that come in through our non-emergency line, so you can't always assume it's a barking dog or a parking problem. You have to be ready for anything with each and every time that you pick up the phone.
My name is Alexis, and I have been a 911 dispatcher for Allegan County Central Dispatch for 6 years this May. I became interested in becoming a dispatcher because I have a degree in communications, and I've always had a fascination with criminal justice, and that's what my minor is in. One of the worst calls that I've taken was in the fall of 2009. We received a call from a home, and before I could get any contact on the line with the subject, the person had hung up. We sent officers to the residence, where they remained on scene for approximately 30 minutes. Turns out that there was a domestic dispute at the residence. They left the house and cleared the scene. Approximately 15 to 20 minutes later, the phone rang again, the same house. And the male subject was on this phone screaming that his wife had shot herself in the head. All I could hear was screams and children crying in the background. It was a shocking and horrific call, trying to get help out to her, not knowing whether or not she had survived or not, and hearing the father yell at his children not to leave the scene and to remain next to their mother. I felt helpless and out of control, being that there was nothing I could do being on the other end of the line. We did get officers and help back en route to the scene, and she did pass away. Being a 911 operator, I feel, takes a special person. It's a niche job. You're with people in their darkest moments and sometimes in their brightest hours. Everything from delivering a small baby to handling a car accident with a child that's been killed. It's a tough job, but I enjoy doing it. I enjoy helping our community and serving the public.
So that was Behind the Mic, Stories from the Trenches. And like I said, it turned out really, really good. And, you know, I've actually given, a talk and conferences of my story a few times. And I swear every single time when I get to the part where I play this video, I get choked up for some reason. I can't even explain it. I'm not sure what it is. I'm very grateful that they helped me out. But yeah, as you can tell, I'm getting a little weird right now. Oh man. But, it started with that, you know, that was the earliest, you know, version of, Within the Trenches, and it's been going ever since. And it's been amazing. So from there, I continued going to school. I ended up graduating, and I had other things that were coming up. I mean, I didn't want to stop. I wanted to go straight into my master's program. So I did. About a month or so after I graduated with my master's in graphic design, I started up my master's degree for new media journalism. And with that was going on, as all of that was starting to evolve, I kept blogging. I kept putting more stories in there, more stories. And with the program that I was attending, they introduced us to podcasts. and, you know, doing news stories, kind of almost like NPR style. Some were on video, some were just audio. And I started doing an emergency services series, and I got EMS in there. I did one for the sheriff's department, for two for dispatch, and I did another one for the sheriff's department where I was highlighting their canine unit. So there was a lot of different things that I was doing during that time, and then they introduced us to, you know, the main the meat of it all, which was the podcasting, and I loved it. I fell in love with it. You know, telling stories, that's what I loved doing. It was a good time. And, you know, sharing the stories, getting this stuff out, it was something that I really wanted to do. So I got this idea to turn Within the Trenches, the blog segment that I had on the Jabberlog, into a podcast. And once I did, it blew up. It just went fast. And I remember at the time, my friend Carl, he ended up saying to me, because I was talking to him and I said, man, I don't think this is going to work out. I said, it's been pretty slow, and I don't know if this is going to pick up, because what I had to do to get the money to even do all of this was Kickstarter. I went to Kickstarter and I put out this campaign, and I needed to raise, I think it was it 1200? 1500, something like that is what I wanted to raise, is what I figured it would be the right amount for the equipment that I needed to get all this started. And I had put out episode one, which we'll get to here in just a moment. And I was stalled at like $600, and it wasn't going anywhere. And it was getting to the wire of the end of the campaign. And it's an all or nothing thing. So you either make it or you don't. If I would have gotten, you know, a dollar off somehow, I still wouldn't get it, because you have to hit the goal or surpass it. So I was freaking out. I didn't think I was going to make it. And I remember saying this to my buddy Carl, and he goes, man, he goes, it'll work out. He goes, I'm pretty sure it'll work out. You just need to get the information out there a little more, so that more people will know about it. And he goes, but I'm just going to tell you this. He goes, I'm pretty sure that once it picks up, you're going to want it to slow down, because it's going to go so fast, you're not going to know what to do. And he was right, man. He was definitely right, because when it picked up, it went really fast. It went fast enough to where I ended up being on the front page of the local newspaper in Holland, Michigan, the Holland Sentinel. And it was called, Emergency Exposition or something like that, but it was a really good article. And and so that happened, and then I reached out to WZZM, of all, you know, local news, not thinking anything was going to happen, but I had sent something out to them, and they said, we really like this idea, and we're going to send somebody out. So they did. They sent out Angela Cunningham to visit the dispatch center. You know, they took some B-roll around there, and then they stepped into one of the offices with Whitney and I, which was episode 5. And I remember the day before, I said, I want you to be the co-host. I really think you should be on here. We're going to have a good time. We're going to do this. And if you're interested, I need you to be in dispatch tomorrow. And she's like, hell yeah, let's do this. So she's like, what do I need to do? I said, well, you need to wear your Within the Trenches t-shirt, and because I'll be doing the same thing. And you need to be in dispatch early, because WZZM is coming, and we're not only going to do a segment with them for, you know, for their news story, but I'm going to see if Angela will be on the episode with us for episode 5. And I'm also going to announce you as the new co-host of the show. So we did it, and it turned out excellent, and I'm going to play that for you right now.
911, where's your emergency?
It's a call you hope you never have to make.
Okay, what street are you off of?
But if you ever do, you're grateful when that 911 dispatcher picks up the phone line.
Because I know that I might be that voice on the other end for a screaming mother, an abused wife.
It's a tough, often stressful job, and one many of us truly don't understand. That motivated Allegan County dispatcher Ricardo Martinez to launch his new internet radio show, Within the Trenches.
The public will be able to finally see, wow, you know, now I know what they actually go through while they're taking a call.
Martinez and co-host Whitney Wisner share stories about the wide variety of calls they handle, from those that are a matter of life and death to those a little less serious.
We actually do get calls where cats are stuck in a tree and they want us to go help them, or they'll call a 911 for fireworks or parade times.
It is exciting to give our story, but it is also nerve-wracking. Like Ricardo said, you don't ever want the public to think, well, here they go, they're going to tell all these awful stories.
This day, I sat in as a guest on the show to see up close and personal what it's all about.
That's how our brains work. We're talking about news releases and how you get them, and then all of a sudden, I just take it to
back to crack.
The banter toggles between the humorous to the serious, but it's always informative.
Because people don't call 911 all the time, so the one or two times they do in their life, we just want them to know what's going on our side.
Because I want people to know why we are putting them on hold. You know, they'll be calling in with a medical, you know, someone's having a heart attack, but we have to put them on hold in order to page out the ambulance. But people don't always understand that.
And in a big way, this show is therapeutic for the dispatchers who rarely get closure after a call.
I'm given CPR instructions and the ambulance gets there. I don't know what's going to happen. They end up going to the hospital and then, you know, we wonder, but we go right to the next call.
Within the Trenches is a sort of reality radio, but about real issues that matter.
You go home and you feel not satisfied, but you feel accomplished. Like I was really able to do what the citizens of Allegan County expected from me today.
So that was the WZZM story that they did. And again, very grateful to them for, you know, looking at this and thinking, you know, this is something that we should get out there. This is something, you know, good that's happening. Because as we all know, whenever something, you know, comes up with dispatch, it's always the bad shit, you know, that people put out there. And it was good that, you know, they were able to look at this and, you know, feel that it was good to get it out there. So I really appreciate that. Thank you, you know, WZZM and Angela Cunningham, you know, that was awesome. Yeah, looking at that, watching that video, you know, as it's playing through, it's weird to to look back at it and just, I don't know, just reflect on it. Just think about how far the show has come, and it's surreal just looking at it there. Me and dispatch, it seems like ages ago, and it was really only, I don't know, 3 years, something like that. It really hasn't been that long, but moving from there, we're going to get into some clips from episode 1, episode 6, and episode 12. There are some some funny stuff that happened in there, and I've been laughing this whole time. I mean, because I was putting all this stuff together and listening to this, because I figured, since, you know, I wasn't able to do the episode the way I originally wanted to do episode 100, I wanted to do a almost like a best of type thing, but you know, this is 100 episodes. This is the 100th episode. There's so many good ones that I could put on there, but these were the ones. These were the earlier ones that I wanted to start with, because of the fact that this is episode 100. I wanted to do, you know, a flashback to a lot of the early ones. So we're gonna go through this this intro here for episode 1, and it sounds funny. I actually had to put it through the program that I use now to make it sound a little bit more like what it sounds like now when you listen to stuff, because when I first started out doing these episodes, I didn't have a lot of or at least good equipment for the first episode, because I hadn't gotten the campaign. I had not won that thing yet. It hadn't gone through. So I wanted to put out at least episode 1 so that people could hear this and know what I was doing and how it was going to sound, or at least somewhat of how it was going to sound. And so I had this, it was just like a speaker. It was a speaker with two XLR plugs to plug in microphones, and it was USB connected into my laptop. So it was okay, but it wasn't, and I also wasn't as knowledgeable for all this, you know, sound equipment and podcasting stuff as I am now. So it didn't sound that great. So I revamped it a little bit. So we're going to go ahead and listen to this intro.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ricardo with Jabberlog on the JCast, and I'm sitting here with Whitney.
Oh, also, as you hear this, a lot of the first episodes were the JCast on Jabberlog. Now, it was cool, but as I was doing some more research, somebody else already had the JCast, and I didn't want to use it. I mean, it wasn't mine. So they were, I think they're out of Canada or something. I don't know. They weren't in the States. But either way, I didn't want to use somebody else's name, so eventually ended up changing it to the Code 7 podcast network and just calling each show by their name. So just in case you were wondering as you're listening to some of these earlier ones, what the hell is the JCast on Jabberlog? Well, that's what it was all about. So, okay, we'll get back.
And this is episode 1 of Within the Trenches. How's it going?
Hey, guys, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
With this this project, it all started out, just give you a rundown here really quick. For those who don't know, I know a lot of you have been seeing posts that I've been doing lately promoting, trying to get this kickstarted and up off the ground. But it originally started as a segment off of my blog, Jabberlog, Within the Trenches. And it was based on my experience as a 911 operator. And what I wanted to do was do a little more with the segment and turn it into a podcast. So I started a Kickstarter project, which once I post everything up after this episode, I will also post up all the information for that. But what the show is supposed to be about is to give, you know, everybody, the general public, a better idea of what we do as 911 dispatchers. What do you think, Whit? What do you think these people are going to think about, you know, some of the stuff that we're going to talk about, the calls, our experience, everything that we do?
I think it's going to be kind of a roller coaster ride for everybody. I think there's going to be a lot of funny on here, mm-hmm. but I think there's going to be some sad stuff too, that people are going to look at it and say, man, you know, you take that home at night. We have to live with some of these calls and outcomes of them too. But there's definitely some funny that, you know, if you're not sitting in a room with a big group of people, nobody really gets to appreciate some of the calls that you think, is this real life? Did I really just take that call?
Yeah. I remember one of my former coworkers, she had taken a call from an elderly gentleman who he called up, and he was living in like the northwestern area of the county that we work in, which is Allegan County. And he just sounded so embarrassed. And she said, what's going on? You know, what's going on? And he says, ma'am, there's a guy who's walking naked on stilts past my window here. And, you know, it's one of those calls that, you know, when you tell people what you do for a living and they ask you, what's the funniest call you've ever taken? That's definitely one of them, because that's one of the things that we deal with. You know, we take a lot of funny calls.
You're right. And it's actually fortunate that we can look back and say we take a lot of funny calls, because there are some jurisdictions that, I'm sure they have funny calls, but they have mm-hmm. a lot of real nasty calls they get too.
Of course, yeah.
So, you know, thanks Allegan County for keeping us on our toes. We never quite know what we're going to get on the other end of that phone call. We appreciate that.
Oh, yes, definitely.
So that was the intro to episode 1. And actually, as I was listening to that again, I realized, you know, that was redundant as hell, because I already told you guys how it started. So my apologies there. But what I really wanted for you to hear was that story there in the beginning about the naked guy with the stilts. So one of the next parts that I'm going to play here is how I started in dispatch. Now, like I said, I've given a talk, and I've probably done 2 or 3 episodes where I reflect on everything and I talk about how I started in dispatch, but you know, I'm sure not all of you know. And it's a pretty good story, so we're gonna get that to you right now.
Mine was a little odd. I ended up moving from here to Florida. Actually, in the beginning, I didn't move. I went to visit my mom. I was only going to go visit for a couple of weeks. Well, a couple of weeks turned into like 3 months.
Nice.
Yeah. And she said, well, you know, why don't you, you know, start looking for a job around here? Cause you're obviously not going to leave.
Yeah.
Get your butt to work. So I was looking around. I couldn't find anything anywhere. And she ended up saying, well, you know, a friend of mine knows the chief of police and he was saying that there might be a job opening. And I said, I don't have any of that experience. You know, I don't know what they do,
right?
You know, except just pick up the phone and 911, where's your emergency? I didn't know anything about it. And all I had before that was a couple stores that I had managed. So I just had, you know, manager experience. But I went in and I remember when I sat in on my interview, it was the chief and it was the lieutenant. And I was sitting there and I remember I was nervous. I was so nervous. And he says, so, what kind of skeletons do you have in your closet? And I chuckled and I said, what do you mean? And he says, you know what I mean? And I said, nothing really. I stole a car once. And he says, are you serious? And I said, yeah, I did. I explained the situation. I said it was kind of a civil situation type thing. Right. You know, it was my car, so I was kind of taking my own car. And I thought, I shouldn't have joked because
that was a great one to come.
Yeah, right, I kind of screwed myself there. I didn't hear anything for a couple months. I thought, yeah, I screwed the pooch on it. And then he ended up showing up at my house, the front door, and says, hey, did you still want the job? I said, yeah. I said, I didn't think, you know, I had done that good in the interview. I thought I was done with and you guys had filled the position. And he says, well, come in tonight at 10 o'clock is when you start. I was like, all right.
They fire the day before.
Yeah, right. And the it was a small police department. I think we had maybe, I don't know, 12 or 13 officers. And then it was just, you know, one dispatcher for the whole city. And so when I got in there, you know, it was pretty much me sitting with the trainer and him explaining things. And then this is your call. I'm like, oh,
I know you've got a lot of funny stories about that. Your training experience down there.
Oh yeah. That was,
I think, some more learning experiences.
Yeah. There was, it was a lot of, you know, me freaking out, I guess is what it was.
Straight up panic mode.
Yeah. Cause I had never done that before. Yeah. And it was just, you know, throw you to the lions and I'm going to listen. Mm-hmm. But the good thing about it though, was that we had a county dispatch as well. So if we got any medicals, we got the pertinent information. Okay. I'm going to switch you to county. And then they would go to county and I would dispatch your first responders.
So there you go. Now you, you have a glimpse into my past and how I got started in dispatch. I stole a car and I was ballsy enough to tell the chief of police and the lieutenant about it. And I got lucky. I got really lucky that everything went through and, it's been good ever since. Moving on from there though, we've got a few more clips from episode one that I want to play. One of them is, you know, a call for a medical. It was actually a funny medical. I don't even want to set it up. I'll just put it through. And then I've got another call that I call the robot call. And you'll see why. And then a good BOL. And then we'll move from there to episode six. But here comes the trach medical call.
When I started here, I had taken a medical call, and this one is actually, well, it's kind of a funny call, but only funny because I guess the husband was laughing during the time.
Oh, nice.
And what else can you do but try not to chuckle, maybe chuckle a little bit.
Right.
But I mean, it was a medical call. Then I had just, I'd just gone off of training, and this guy calls and he's just, and I thought he was crying at first, but he was laughing. And I said, sir,
was that on a 911 line?
Yeah, this was 911 line. And I said, sir, what's going on? You know, I got all this information and everything else. And he says, well, it's hard to say. And I said, well, you know, just tell me exactly what's going on and, you know, I'll help you. And he says, well, I'm pretty sure we need an ambulance. My wife has, she has a trach. I said, okay. And he says, there's something stuck inside it. And I said, well, could you see what it was? Or, you know, and at this time, actually, I had everybody hauling over there because,
right,
you know, she was having trouble breathing and all of that. And with our protocols, you know, we got to get them out there fast. So I already had everybody going out there. So I'm asking him, you know, what was in it? And he's still chuckling. And I said, what's inside the trach? And he says, well, my wife cleans out her trach with a wire brush, and apparently she snapped it in half and it was stuck inside. And he says, I'm going to get some pliers to go ahead and take it out. And I said, sir. And then I hear we're on scene from the ambulance. And I said, sir, the ambulance is there. Go to the front door and go talk to them first. And then, you know, thank you for calling. I'm glad I could help you.
Yeah. A side note for people who aren't familiar with the EMD protocols that we use is one of the biggest pre-arrival instructions in there is don't do anything your doctor didn't tell you to do, or vice versa. You know,
right,
only do what the doctor has instructed you to do. So you wonder, did he say, yeah, if she ever gets a wire brush caught in there, just go run out to your toolbox and grab a pair of pliers and just take care of it yourself.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't get to that part where he could explain it. So he's, and he just kept laughing. And it wasn't until that moment where in my head, I was half chuckling in my head and half,
well, yeah,
are you kidding me? Why are you laughing
at
this?
I don't think you should be up. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean,
you should be up there doing that, sir.
Yeah. It was after I hung up, I chuckled a little more, but I couldn't believe it. I was like, huh, so this is the way my career is going to be in dispatch. These are going to be the kind of calls I'm going to take.
I had a call from a man not too long ago, actually. This is probably about 2 months ago, and I'm going to have a hard time even getting through the story. I laughed so hard. He called, and it was actually not a funny call to start out with. He called on a 911 line, mm-hmm. and he was, you know, mid 50s. He was an adult, and he was actually calling because a friend of his had said that he was suicidal. He was mm-hmm. going to overdose on prescription medication, and we needed to get help out there. So I, you know, said, absolutely, sir. So we started going through it, and he said, I don't have an address. And I said, okay, well, what's his name? Let me see if I can find him. And come to find out, he was living in a state far south of us here in Michigan.
Oh, really?
So then right there, I said, okay. He said, well, can you just transfer me down there? And I said, I don't have the capability to transfer, you know, 700 miles, but let me see what I said. Do you have access to the internet? No. I said, okay, I'm going to get online and see if I can find a number for their local police department. Mm-hmm. Oh, I tell you what, I found this number, and I during this time, I noticed that my caller was very intoxicated, very intoxicated.
Okay.
So I started giving him this number, and I read the first three digits, and then I read the second three digits, and he said, okay. And I gave him the last four digits. I went back. I gave him the last four digits 17 times. Oh. I'm not exaggerating. I played it back and we laughed so hard. Finally, he started telling me, I use these felt tip pens, and I tell you what, they run out at the worst time.
Oh.
And so I said, can you find something else to write with, sir? And he was like, yeah, ma'am, just hold on a second. And I'm thinking, if he's got a friend that's overdosed, I really got to get this guy to call this number. And the number was like 3323 or 3233. It's pretty easy to remember if you didn't have something to write with. And I said, can you write on like the dust of your television screen? And he said, no, I'm going to get this pen to work. And finally I started laughing and he was laughing. And I said, sir, you have to write this somewhere. Can you write it on a dirty plate in the sink? And he said, I'm going to find another pen. You just wait a minute, ma'am. So yeah, 17 times I gave him four numbers and they were two of the same numbers, just different.
Oh, geez, that's crazy. See, and that's what we deal with sometimes.
17 times. 17.
On phone calls. you know, if it's not that, that somebody can't hear us or their ink is running out, it's...
So that was the that was the trait call. And I forgot that I had marked it as well so that it would run into the call that Whitney had too with you know, the guy and the phone numbers are running out of ink. Yeah, that guy was something else. I mean, he just kept laughing. And what else are you going to do? You know, while you're sitting there, I mean, of course, you can be professional and just not laugh. But my ass had to laugh because... What else was I going to do? I mean, if it's in humor and stuff, of course I'm going to laugh. That old man was laughing and stuff about what was going on to his wife, which kind of sucked because, you know, I could hear her in the background struggling, but, Yeah, I just started laughing. And recording the first episode with Whitney, we were laughing hysterically. It was great. It was such a good time. The next call is the robot call. And this call was another one of those where I thought, damn, you know, where else would this happen but in dispatch, you know, for something like this, because I had never dealt with anything like that before, and it completely threw me off, especially when I answer the phone, Elegant 911, where's your emergency, and I hear, I need help. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, what the heck was that? And I'm going to get this to you here, and you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. You won't get to hear the call, but you know, you'll hear me talking about it, which is pretty funny.
On the staying on the funny, mm-hmm. I took a call once with the names mixing up male and female. This one was hard though, because I can't think of what it's called, but the person had one of those like little machines that they got in their neck, yeah, where they sound like a robot, you know, like that.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called, but it was a domestic call, and this person was having a domestic with her daughter is, yeah, what it was. And I'm going through the whole thing, and the call is just about done. And this whole time I thought this person's name was Carl. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that, uh-oh, it was actually a Carol. And cause I said, okay, sir, you know, I'm glad I could help you. You know, thank you very much for calling. And it was Carl, right? And I just want to make sure I got the information right. And I hear, no, it's not Carl, it's Carol. This thing makes, dang, me sound, it, like a man. And then, and yeah, and she was laughing. She actually laughed afterwards, but she goes, ha, ha, ha. And so I chuckled too. And, you know, she just says, thank you very much for your help and for, aww, what you do. And then I hung up and I sat there for a moment. I thought, where else would this happen? You know, and, yeah, and exactly, what other, you know, job? I'm sure it probably happens in other jobs, but really, at the time, I was thinking, where else would this happen with something like this? You know, so, and I wrote about it as well on the blog, but yeah, that calls like that really, really stick out.
I had a BOL one time. BOL is a be on the lookout. So people are, this is not voice. I just thought of this funny one. It's because this is when people ask me my funniest call,
yeah,
this,
yeah,
is what I think of. Had a BOL, be on the lookout, and my caller was concerned. Normally it's erratic driving. People are, mm-hmm, calling about somebody who's intoxicated going over the lines or whatnot.
Yeah.
And he was concerned because in the back of this work van, he could see carpeting that was rolled up. It must have been a pickup because I think he could see into the bed. And I said, okay, is it not secured down? And he said, no, it's in there, but it just looks really weird. The carpeting doesn't look that old and it's rolled up. I said, okay, I guess I'm just not sure why you're concerned. And he said, well, there's two garbage bags in there too. And I thought, no, he can't be thinking somebody cleaned up a crime scene. He can't be thinking that. And we got a little more into it. And he said, I don't know. This carpeting just looks too old to be being transported, or it looks too new to be being transported with garbage.
Uh-huh.
Well, to anybody who works in this profession, you got to put out what somebody gives you.
Exactly.
You have to put it over the air. Mm-hmm. He's concerned about this, so I do. And I remember I typed it all in there, and our officers on the road can see who had taken the call. Our names are attached to every line of narrative we add into the call. Mm-hmm. And I got a message from one of the county deputies, and he sent me a message, and he said, your caller needs to stop watching CSI. And I thought, I can't tell him that, but...
Yeah, the officers always say stuff that they want you to say, but, you know, of course, we can never say it. There's a lot of stuff that I wish I could have said. But yeah, so that was just some snippets from episode one. That episode was, geez, that was about an hour long. So if you haven't heard the entire episode of episode one, you need to go back and check that one out, because that is an excellent one. You will laugh your ass off and it's a good time. Another one that was really fun was episode number six. So in episode six, we had been talking to a couple dispatchers from Ottawa County. Now, they are a neighboring county. They are just north of Allegan. And a couple of their dispatchers that I'd been talking to said that they'd be willing to do it. So we were like, hell yes, let's do it. The four of us worked midnight shift. And from their dispatch center to where we were at, oh, it was probably about 30 minutes or so, maybe more. It might have been maybe 45 minutes. But either way, what I'm getting at is that we worked midnight shift. So we worked all through the night, and then we stayed up long enough throughout that night, or in the morning, I mean, to record this episode. So listening to us talk, you wouldn't think that we had been up for that many hours. You know, we sound fine, but you know, we were all probably a little loopy. This first clip that I want to play, though, Whitney asks a burning question to Jen and Crystal of Ottawa County, because when whenever we would call over there, they wouldn't give their names. It was always just Ottawa. This is Ottawa, or Ottawa Central, or just Ottawa, or whichever. And we would say, or like I would say, oh, this is Ricardo with Allegan. But when I would call them and they would say, this is Ottawa, then I would end up saying, this is Allegan, and never saying the names. And then we would hang up and they would say, so who did you talk to over there at Ottawa? Oh, it was Ottawa. I don't know. They don't say their names over there. So we had talked about it. Whitney and I had talked about it in the beginning before they got there. And I said, we should ask. And she goes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to ask them. I was like, okay, good. I said, make sure you ask, because I'm curious as to, you know, why they don't use their name. So that's the first clip here that I'm going to play for you.
Okay, I have a burning question I have to ask you guys right in the beginning. And I've said this 1,000 times in our dispatch center, and I said, I got to ask them at some point. So what a perfect time. Why do you guys never use your names when you call us? We always laugh because we get a call from you guys and you say, hey, it's Ottawa. And I always say, hey, you.
I know. I never know who to say. Like when we spoke, you're like, hey, hi. I was like, hello. And it's Crystal. I was like, oh, hey, that's hi.
We're never sure how many people are working in your center. So we're like, yeah, what? Just talk to one of you.
I never thought of it before, but we don't.
No.
We don't use our name.
I get that you don't, you know, sometimes people are like, I'm not comfortable using it with my name with a caller, which I understand that, but. Sometimes, you know, when I'm calling or I get a call back from you guys, I'm like, oh, I don't, I have no idea who I talked to up there. She was nice.
Yeah.
She said hello. Yeah, I think she said pleasant. Hello twice.
Mm-hmm. Very easy to understand.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. We'll say somebody over at Lean is like, who did you talk to over there at Ottawa? I talked to Ottawa.
Ottawa. They said, hey, this is Ottawa. So I said, hey, this is. Allegan? Whitney?
Yeah, you know, AMR does the same thing. When we call over there, they'll just say, AMR. I'm like, oh. You know, sometimes they'll say their first names or they'll just say, hi, Allegan.
That's like, the worst one.
You're like, a creeper.
Yeah, they say, hi, Allegan. And I always say, the same thing. Hey, hi, this is Ottawa. Whitney with Allegan.
Yeah. You took away my thunder.
Never mind. But, okay, so that's not a policy or anything like that.
No, it's just, it didn't ever dawn on me.
Well, we do look that. Along the horizon now.
Now I will
let
start.
It dawn.
Yeah, I'm going to start saying my name all the time.
Yeah,
that's
start
so
saying
funny.
Crystal's name, John. I'm going you to. Can start saying, "Hey, this is Crystal."
Yeah, and then we'll do the same. Yeah. On the other end.
But when I call up there, I'm going to say, "Hey, this is Crystal from Ottawa."
see what happens.
Right. I think that would be a lot of fun, entertaining.
It would be good. We'll just make sure to forward all our calls up to you guys.
Right.
Yeah.
You can take everything from
well,
that one.
Right. We don't have our special switch that we have to turn everything over. It actually goes to Barry, down, but maybe we can reroute it somehow.
I think they'd be okay with it. I don't think anybody's heart would be broken. Yeah.
So there was the burning question there that Whitney asked, and it was funny talking to them because like you heard, they didn't even think about the fact that they, you know, don't ever use their name. So I'm pretty sure from that time on, at least when we spoke to both Jen and Crystal, they would use their names whenever they would talk because we called them out on it. So it was pretty funny. I mean, the entire episode is funny. It's excellent. The next clip is, you know, Jen talking about her first day training. Actually, I think this is more of like a two-parter because she talks about some of the training and then the next one is her first call and stuff. So we'll get to that next here.
So your first, let's say, you know, think back when you were in training, that first 911 call, was it nerve wracking? Like, were you kind of sweating, or were you just like, no, this is what I got to do? And you were all about it.
I was driving. We were in Grand Haven then when I first started. Mm-hmm. And I remember driving from Holland to Grand Haven, and I would be in the car going,
did you just shoot up 31 that way?
Yeah. And I would say the whole way, Ottawa 911. I'd pretend like I was answering the phone the whole time in the car.
That's awesome.
And I'd be like imagining scenarios in my head, and I'd be out loud going,
"That's where is your awesome emergency? Though. What is your address and your telephone number? And
if it's convenient, may I please have your nearest crossroad?
Can you repeat that for verification, please?
Exactly. On my screen, I'm showing this your telephone number.
Can you repeat it back for me?
So, and then also with license plates and things like that, you would do, you know, you would practice your
phonetic alphabet too. Around.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. Trying to say it back to each other.
Yeah. Then you got the officers that are saying, be Boston.
Yeah.
There's a be Boston.
Be Baker. Ah, ooh, sorry, Central.
Yeah.
We had that last night. It's going to be Baker Char. I mean, boy. Boy.
Yeah,
he always says Baker, and I think somebody had mentioned it to him. Like, hey, I don't know if you learned that in the academy, but we use boy, you know, here. And,
yeah. You know.
So that was part of Jen's training there. And the next part kind of goes along with it, because she talks about her first call. And it's really funny. If you've been in my class that I give, you've heard it before. You've heard this one snippet, but... yeah, if not, you'll dig it. It's pretty funny. So I'll just cue that up here for you.
That I wasn't the only one, and my partners were sending help.
Right.
You're this fresh dispatcher. That was kind of tough to say. And you're thinking, I'm just trying to help you.
Yeah.
Want to yell into the phone there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember a significant one of my first calls. Mm-hmm. It was called in by a third-party caller, mm-hmm. suicidal. So we call back.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
Call the person, and I called and I said, first of all, I gave my name, okay, which, yep. You know, we don't do there at Ottawa.
Yeah,
so.
I know, right? Liar. Look, Jen's first lie of the day. Yeah.
This is Jenny from 119.
Yeah.
And then I was like,
oh, you really said that?
I said it.
Oh, I thought you were joking. No.
Oh,
I was
man.
So worked up. It was my first one.
119.
Yeah, we're kind of like the sister station to 911. Yeah.
Can you hold on a minute? Can you rewind? Can you call right back really quick? I got it down this time.
My trainer was probably like, oh.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I really messed up. I mean, with that phone system, I called, you know, one time I answered the phone and it went on the intercom all over the Grand Haven Department of Public Safety. And there I am going, Ottawa 911. Ottawa 911. It's my trainer trying to get across the room.
In the car.
Hitting the, yeah. Just as I had practiced, trying to hit the, she's going, no, stop. Oh,
that's it. We were talking.
So there's that part where she was in the beginning, she was talking about how she practiced it the whole time, you know, going to dispatch Ottawa 911. And then she was so worked about calling back and, you know, answering the phone and stuff. And she was just saying it over and over and not realizing she was on the intercom. It's a really good episode. Episode number 6. It was a lot of fun. So make sure to go back to that one and check that out. You will not be sorry. It was really, really fun to do. The next clip that I want to play is from episode 12. And the only thing I'm going to play for you here is the intro story from episode 12. And it's pretty funny. There was something that happened to me back at that time where I had an abscess in one of my teeth. And it got pretty bad. I mean, it was bad enough to where I was out of work for like, I don't know, maybe a week or something. I was out for a while and it was bad, but you'll get to hear the story. I'm not going to say anything else about it right now, but this is the only clip that I'm going to play from this episode because there's a lot more stuff that's on that episode that I want you to hear for yourself. And go through because it's that good. So here is the intro story of episode 12.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ricardo with Jabberlog on the JCast, and I'm sitting here with my co-host Whitney, and this is episode number 12 of Within the Trenches. What's going on?
Hey, bro, how you feeling?
I'm feeling all right, I guess.
You look a lot less scary. You don't need a hunchback anymore.
I know. Oh, holy crap. Did you mention that to me on a text message, or was it somebody else too?
I think we were kind of quietly talking about it behind your back. I mean, you're a buddy and everything, but there's a point there where we were like, he's looking rough.
Yes. Oh my God. I don't know. I think I was texting Carl is what it was.
Okay.
I was texting him as well. And he was saying, all you need is a hunchback. And I thought, damn, that's
that
messed
Carl.
Up. Yes. For those who don't know, I'm sure you saw the pictures that I was posting on the Jabberlog fan page. I ended up having an abscess tooth, just one tooth, and it destroyed my face. It was swollen. It was like someone farted in my mouth and it just stayed open.
Again?
Yeah. Oh, and laughing like that kind of hurts. I can't do a big smile because it's still kind of tight and everything. So
it looks a lot less intense. I mean, there was a point there. Well, if we had to explain it to listeners who haven't seen it, I'm talking like baseball at one point.
Yeah.
That one evening where you were just. Oh,
yeah. Okay. So I can explain it like this. If you've ever gone into, and I'm pretty sure they still have them, if you go into the gas station or Walmart or something like that, and you see all the gum on the racks when you're checking out, and you see that big league chew.
That guy. Yes.
Yes. That guy. That's exactly what I look like. I look like I had a big old chaw right in my mouth and it was very painful. I mean, my lip was stretched out so far on the right side that the pain was just, oh, I can't even explain the pain. It was just amazing. Not amazing good.
No. And you gave your wife a heart attack because at one point, I mean, Ricardo spent this weekend in and out of the oral surgeon. We were supposed to do an interview with another dispatcher on Wednesday and we had to cancel it because he was back and forth all weekend and he couldn't talk and he didn't work the first part of this week. And his wife, Becky, texted me and she's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. They told him that if it gets any worse, he'll have to go to the hospital. And I was like, I think it's about time he goes there anyways.
But yes.
They pulled it together.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. Just sitting there and the dentist telling me, we're going to have to cut you open. And I thought, okay, well, just like along my gum line, or is it, that's what you mean, right? And he said, oh yeah. He says, because you can always tell me no. However, if you let it go and just kind of play it by ear, then there's a possibility that it's going to start swelling down towards your neck. It's going to cut off your air supply and you could die.
Or you just go goiter.
Yeah. And I said, well, I don't want that. I said, whatever you have to do. And he said, all right, well, here's a form. This, you know, it says all the risks and everything. And he says, but once again, if you let it go, you'll end up having a major surgery and then the risks there are tenfold. And I said, nope, signed it. And he's like, all right, let's do this. So I'm sitting there and I'm freaking out and I'm texting my wife and telling her, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going on. And she was sending me messages back saying, I'm confused. Are you getting, because I had told her too, that a tooth might get pulled in the back. And she says, so are you getting your tooth pulled and you're getting cut open, or just cut open and not the tooth pulled? And I'm trying to frantically text and everything else. And like my thumb cramped up and everything else because I was trying to do it so fast and I was freaking out. I was sweating and I got in the last thing. Just no, they're not taking my tooth out. Yes. They're cutting me open right now. And I put my phone back in my pocket because they already hit me with like 3 or 4 shots to numb me up. But whenever I could bite down, I could still feel kind of the pain.
Yeah.
And I told him that, and he says, we'll wait a little bit longer, but it was only like 5 minutes that they waited. And then they came back in and I was biting again. And he says, look, you're going to be able to bite on your teeth and you're going to feel it. He says, but you know, you're not going to feel the pain. I said, okay,
you were going to feel pressure.
Right.
You're like, no, dude, yeah. I can really feel pain.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm laying back and they give the first
side note to anybody listening. If you have a weak stomach.
Oh yeah. This is about to get real. Yeah. Yeah. This is live on Spreaker and we're doing something a little different here. Let's see how this goes. But, they laid me back and they handed him the scalpel, the first of 3 scalpels actually. Whoa. And he just started cutting through and I couldn't feel anything at first, but then as he got deeper, and I guess once every time he hit a pocket, it hurt even. I could feel the scalpel going in, and it was bad. I mean, I was, you know, all the grunting and moaning and breathing really heavy and stuff. And he says, "Can you feel this?" And I said, "Yes."
No, I can't. What did she say that?
Not at all. Just because I'm sweating and breathing heavy. No, that doesn't mean nothing. But they ended up hitting me with another shot of anesthetic within one of the wounds that they slit open, and I could feel the needle going in. So, I mean, I was pretty much crying and everything else and blubbering and stuff. And he says, all right, we're going to take a break. So they walk off and I'm laying there and I try to sit up and I'm just, it was so bad, man. I mean, I was shaking and I'm like, are you serious?
You know what? This is why women have babies.
Yes,
and I know. Not men.
Exactly. Because, like I said, if men were to do that, it would be really bad. It'd be like throwing a hot dog in a microwave. But they come back a little bit afterwards and they're like, okay, we'll see you. You know, how does it feel now? And I said, I can't feel my face. Like, I can touch it.
Good.
But I can't feel it.
Did he high five you?
No, he was just like, all right. So, you know, I laid back down and then he starts going again. And all I could hear him cutting into it. You know, it was like cutting through steak or like cartilage and chicken or something. And he says, can you feel that? And I said, I can hear it, but I can't feel it. I said, just keep going. Oh, stop asking me questions.
Yeah, exactly. Stop talking to me. We're not Facebook friends.
I know. Like, I understand you're trying to make sure I'm fine. And I dig that, but. Oh, it was horrific.
He didn't care the first time around when you were so miserable. So
yeah.
Finish your job, guy.
So that was the intro story to episode 12. I hope you enjoyed that. Listening to it made me flash back and think about what I went through, and it sucked. I mean, I took a picture of my face of this swollen gum that I had because of the infection, and it looked really bad. You know what? I'll post up a link on this blog so that you can go to it and read it, or at least, you know, just see the picture, because it's pretty gnarly, man. It was crazy. I had gone and, you know, got done what I got done, and then I took a picture of it and stuff, and it was just the worst crap to happen. But made for a funny story, so that was good. Now, like I said, that's the only clip from episode 12 that I'm going to play, because the rest of the episode is a bunch of different 901 calls that we played, and I don't want to take away from that, and I also want to move along with this one as well. But make sure to go and back and check out episode 12, and you know, you can listen to all the calls that we listen to, and you know, we talk about a lot of them as well. I believe there's a guy there who was, or a lady that was swarmed by bees, and a guy is calling him in and he is getting hit or stung rather by bees as well. And the dispatcher is telling him to get out of there, and he's just yelling and swearing towards the end of it because he's getting stung really bad. I think there's another one there that we listened to where this guy is calling and yelling because his girlfriend, handcuffed herself to him and smothered him, or like not smothered him, but I mean, like, she's sitting on him and won't let go. I believe that's what was going on, but it's pretty crazy. I mean, she starts biting him during the call and he's screaming, and Whitney and I are trying not to laugh because it's a crazy call. You just have to check that out, episode number 12. So some episodes to mention here. Like I said, there are so many episodes that I've recorded or that Whitney recorded with me, during the time that we were doing them together, that are just so good. It's hard to mention all of them. I'm revamping the website so that you guys are able to, get to the episodes a lot easier. Right now it's just like in a blog format. And if you go to thejabberlog.com, and you click on the categories and click the category for Within the Trenches, you can go back all the way to the beginning. There's written articles in there as well as the podcast blog entries, or you can just click on the Within the Trenches link, and there will be a media player that holds every single episode ever recorded, as well as some bonus episodes. And I believe I have my emergency services series in there as well. But I'm redoing the website so that you guys can find them a lot easier. So make sure to go back and check those out. Some of the good ones that really stand out, episode number 18, I was invited by the Tom of the Cool Kids of 911 to Boca Raton in Florida to go to their Mini-Seek conference. And episode 18, I got to talk with, I think it was about four or five students that were there attending for not only the conference, but their students that are there for the dispatch certification, because in Florida, you need to have a certification in order to be a dispatcher. And this was that they go to Palm Beach State College. So make sure to check out episode 18. Episode number four, an early episode, was with a dispatcher out of Dublin, Ireland. And his name was Barry County. Now, I asked him right away, you know, if I could say his last name. And because when he told me that his name was Barry County, I thought the last name was going to be, you know, something else. Actually, in the beginning, I thought this was a county named Barry, because I was saying to him, you know, I work in Allegan, and my one of my surrounding agencies is called Barry County. And I spelled it out, and he goes, no, that's my actual name is Barry County. So I thought that was pretty funny. So I had to make mention of that, and I got permission to use his last name for it, because it was just humorous that his name was Barry County. And he was actually out of Dublin, Ireland. And there's a lot of good stories with that one, so make sure to check out episode number four. Episode 20 is with Deanne Somerset and Jim Marshall. And that one is, we're talking about the 911 Wellness Foundation, stress, and everything with dispatchers. And that's the one that I was talking about early on in this episode, where he did that Jedi mind trick on me. And that's an excellent one to check out. Episode 45 was the first and only time that we did a Google Plus Hangout on air live, that you could actually watch it, and we were doing this. I want to try to get more into that, do some video and stuff. But in episode 45, I had Gary Allen, who was the editor for Dispatch Magazine Online, and sadly, recently he passed away. But I owe him a lot. When I was earlier talking about the Kickstarter campaign, I had only 36 hours left. I was stuck at about $600. And I reached out to him. I said I didn't want any money. I just wanted to see if he could help me out with getting out the word about what I was doing with the podcast. So he put out a little blurb, and overnight I ended up getting surpassing the amount of money that I needed. And he actually reached out to my now boss, the CEO of the company that I work for in digital, and also a sponsor of the podcast, and was telling him what I was doing, and they helped, you know, fund the rest of what I was looking for the podcast to get it up off the ground. And it was just amazing. You know, Gary, I will always be grateful to you. And I hope, you know, you're looking down on me and seeing the good things that I'm doing with the podcast. Episode 80 was with Steve Souter. And I actually found out about Steve through Tom of the Cool Kids of 911. And his first day in dispatch was not your regular first day. His first day in dispatch was the day that Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. And Steve was dispatching in the DC area. And that's when those riots broke out. And he was there for, I think he was there for 2 days straight. I'm trying to remember exactly now, but his episode is amazing. It's crazy enough that I didn't even say much in that episode, because he had such good stories that when it was finally my turn to talk, I was just like, oh, yes, that was great. And, you know, I didn't know what to say, because I was so into listening to what he was saying, man. I mean, I might as well have had like cookies and milk for a kindergarten story time, because that's how into it I got. I was just there listening and listening. And then I was like, oh, it's my turn to talk. That's crazy, or that's awesome, or I can't believe that. I mean, The stories were so good. There wasn't much that I could say to it, because I just let him run it. You know, usually I'm the one who's quarterbacking the episode, but he took over and it was great. It was awesome. I enjoyed it a lot. So please check out episode 80. That is a really, really good episode. Now, going into the wrap up of episode 100, I hope you've enjoyed this, you know, listening to some clips from earlier episodes, and that, you know, you'll be going back and checking out more of these stories, because this is the whole reason that I started this, was to tell dispatch stories, you know, for people to learn more about what we do, for dispatchers to listen to other dispatchers and learn. And you know, now I've got training companies that have come on and talked about certain things, you know, people like the 911 Wellness Foundation, and it's all about learning and learning from each other. And if I can get you some sort of training or anything for free through the podcast, that's what I'm going to do, because I think continuing education is very important. And on that note as well, the scholarship for the 2016 National Indiana Conference, that is going to be coming up in June. And, you know, that is a real big thing that I'm doing right now. And I was selling decals, vinyl decals, to come up with some of the money from there. Another sponsor will be In Digital. They're going to be helping out with that scholarship. And what the scholarship is going to do is it's going to pretty much send one dispatcher to this conference in Indianapolis, Indiana. And it's going to pay for their registration for one pre-conference class, a $500 stipend, and you're going to get a snazzy t-shirt. You're going to come on the show, and you're going to tell your 911 dispatch story. And I might have forgot one more thing that's in there that they'll end up getting. But, you know, those are the main things that come with this scholarship. It's an amazing opportunity, so please make sure to go to thejabberlog.com /scholarship.php, and I'll put a link in the blog post as well for you to go there. It'll tell you everything that comes with it, what you have to do to apply, and there's a link there for the registration. So you register first, and then you email me a current resume as well as a 1,000 word essay, because I don't want to just give this to anybody. I want you to apply. I want people to apply who really want to go to this, who are going to, you know, take what they learn and do something with it. Like I said, it's a big opportunity to be able to do this. Not everybody gets to go to a national conference. So to be able to get this scholarship would be something really good for you. So make sure you go out there and register for it. Also, again, the Indiana NENA conference is coming up, and make sure to go to their website, www.ena.org. That's INNENA.org. Go to registration, register. Even if you're not in Indiana, man, if you're in our surrounding state or whichever, come and check it out, because it's going to be a good time, and you're going to learn a lot. Like I said, I'm going to be doing a live podcast there for one of the classes, an hour long. It's going to be a panel, and then the audience who's going to be there. And then Jim Marshall of 911 Wellness Foundation is giving a 2-day pre-conference class. It's something that you do not want to miss. So make sure to sign up and check that out. Going back to the scholarship really quick, if you're a 911 Pro company out there that wants to help out with this and you want to be a sponsor, I'm still taking sponsorship emails and such. So send an email to wttpodcast@gmail.com. Let me know that you're interested, and I will get with you and we will figure out the details. Also, I've got some t-shirts that are coming up with the Sons and Daughters of Dispatch, and I'm going to be putting them out there for you guys to purchase. The money from that will end up going to the scholarship as well. And, you know, I want to thank everybody who has supported me on this journey. You know, going to what I'm doing now, traveling and presenting Texas 911 and all this other stuff, almost every time that I've gone to present, I have met a fan of the podcast. So those who have come up to me, introduced yourselves, and said that you're a fan, I thank you as well very, very much for listening and for the continued support. I can't even tell you how awesome it is to, you know, go to places and then say, I know you. I as soon as I heard your voice, I knew who you were. You're Ricardo from Within the Trenches. It's freaking awesome. Never did I think in the beginning of all of this that stuff like that was going to happen or that it was going to go this far. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you very much for all of this. And we're going to keep kicking ass and taking names. You know, coming up, I'm in talks with people to be on the show, Dispatch Monkey. If you've not heard of Dispatch Monkey, he's on Twitter, he's on Facebook, he's got a blog that just started out. Make sure to check that out. I'm going to put the links for him as well. Operation 10-8, excellent blog. And I'm going to have Ryan, who does that, on there as well. He's also with the 911 Wellness Foundation now. So he's going to be talking on different topics, you know, telling us how he got started in dispatch, and then his switch from there, doing stuff with Operation 10-8, the 911 Wellness Foundation, and a lot of others that are going to be coming on. A gentleman that I talked to again just this past week in Florida, he is on the technical side of 911. He works for AK Associates, and he was telling me, you know, you should get some of the technicians on there to talk about their stories. And it's funny because it's actually an idea that I had, and for the technicians that I work with at InDigital. But the gentleman that I talked to, he's going to get on the show as well. So I gave him my card, and I want to get him on there because he was telling me that he had some stories. Well, I want to get him on there to see, you know, coming from a technician's point of view, who's hooking up all of your 911 equipment and such, you know, let's see what those stories are all about. So that was intriguing. I want to get that as well. And last but certainly not least, the whole entire point of this show and everything that I've done, dispatch stories, more dispatchers coming on, telling their stories, what they've learned, just everything. Because like I said, this all started out about telling dispatch stories. And I believe those are the ones that are the most important. They're the ones that need to get out there for people to learn from, for the public to understand why we do what we do and everything. So again, thank you. And if you have any questions or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us, and that's going to be wttpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook and like us. It's facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. You can follow us on Twitter, and that's @901podcast. And this episode, along with all the other episodes, are available for you 24/7 on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, and thejabberlog.com. Thank you very much. Have a good one.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to wttpodcast@gmail.com.